بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. As we discussed the other day, this chapter we are reading pertinent to these Mubarak nights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and we learned that these nights are nights for dua. And Mawlana Ibrahim Devla sahab, Damat Barakatuhu, very often we hear in his talks and in his hidayat, this encouragement he gives. He says that like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our Nabi for Dawat, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also our Nabi for Dua. And Dua is a very, very important part of the life of a believer. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Ad-du'a'u huwal ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dua is the essence of ibadat. How much dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make? Normally we have this mindset that dua is after namaz, or when you wake up for tahajjud, or you raise your hands in dua. But for example, when you enter the masjid, Allahumma ftah li abwaab rahmatik, that is dua. You're leaving the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik, dua. Before you eat, the dua that you are reading. After you eat, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana. That is dua. Before you sleep is dua. When you wake up is dua. All these azkar that we are supposed to be reading, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read, are actually supplications. They are dua. So when we understand that, then you can understand expressions like this, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the very essence of ibadat is dua. He told Ubay bin Ka'b, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that should I not show you a surah in the Quran? Should I not show you a surah in the Quran? Not in the Torah, not in the Zabur, not in the Injil, not in any revealed scripture was a surah like this revealed. And the surah that he was referring to was Surah Fatiha. And if you look at Surah Fatiha is seven expressions, seven sentences, 130 words. The beginning of it is the tarif and the hamd of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Then it is the attestation that ibadat is only from Allah. And then asking from help is only from Allah. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. And then the rest of Surah Fatiha is dua. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina anamta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim, wala dhalin. That is ayn dua. So the life of a believer, every aspect of our life is dua. Unfortunately, many of us, we tend to equate dua with formal dua. When you raise your hands, or you're making collective dua, we think that is only dua. That is not only dua. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkurullah ta'ala fi kulli akhyanihi. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make Allah's zikr every moment. What was the zikr she was talking about? Make Allah's zikr every moment was the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read at every moment. The greatest form of zikr, the greatest form of zikr, utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Some mufassirin, they extract from this verse that the greatest form of zikr is Qur'an. As Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that the highest form of zikr is Qur'an. The second highest form of zikr, is the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make on the relevant occasions. If somebody is entering the masjid, he can have a tasbih in his hand, he can sing subhanallah, 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 and somebody else can be reading the dua that Rasulullah ﷺ read when he entered the masjid. Obviously, what is a greater form of zikr? The dua that Rasulullah ﷺ read. So as Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah used to say, the second highest form of zikr after Quran is the du'as that Rasulullah ﷺ would read at every occasion. And unfortunately, these du'as have come out of our lives. And this is a very, very great loss. Somebody is in tabligh 20, 30, 40 years, what does that mean? What does it mean 40 days every year, 4 months every year? The shiar and symbol of that should be that this person at every masnoon occasion is reading the relevant dua for that occasion. That is what is meant by the third point of tabligh. And if you look in Hayatul Sahaba, obviously we got time constraints, but really if you read these incidents with this in mind, how Sahaba, one, they learned the dua that Rasulullah ﷺ read on an occasion, they practiced upon it for the rest of their life, and they made tabligh of that to whoever would come. Classical example of this. Somebody brings a new set of clothing to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Somebody brings a new set of clothing, hadiyah, for Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu ta'ala, presents it to him. What does Umar do? Obviously, he doesn't break the heart of the person. Umar was a person of great simplicity. Sahaba used to say 12 patches, 14 patches they used to see on the clothing of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. The food he would eat was so coarse that others couldn't even swallow that. Great austerity, great simplicity, but they would not break the heart of any person. So this person brought a new set of clothes. So Umar uses that occasion to practice upon the sunnah, and not just the sunnah, the dua that Rasulullah ﷺ read, and he doesn't just read the dua, he makes tabligh of the dua. Umar takes his old clothes out, puts on the new clothes, and then he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading this dua when he put clothes on. Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani ma uwari bihi awrati wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati. This is ajeeb, where Aisha was asked radiallahu anha to describe the akhlaq, the moral code, the moral compass of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What an ajeeb answer she gave. Describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So many descriptions you find many places Sahaba used to give of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But really this answer that Aisha gave radiallahu anha really raises her to the point where we can see the type of special intelligence Allah gave her. Leading eminent Sahaba say that after the demise of Rasulullah ﷺ, up to one third of the juristic challenges that they faced, that they didn't know how to answer, they were able to find the answers from Aisha radiallahu anha. So her intelligence was not normal. This was a special gift from Allah Ta'ala. So when this question is asked, look at the answer she gives. Ama taqra'ul Quran? Don't you read the Quran? You are asking me about the akhlaq, the moral compass of Rasulullah ﷺ. Don't you read the Quran? Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. He was the Quran. His akhlaq, his moral compass. One riwayat it comes, she read the opening verses of Surah Mu'minun. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Walladhina hum anil lagwi mu'ridun. والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. seven or eight qualities of a believer are outlined in that opening chapter of Surah Mu'minun, 18 juz of the Quran. And wallah, that is the nature of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the end of it, what does Allah say? The one who incorporates these seven or eight things, ulaika humul warithun, these are the inheritors of not just jannat, alladhina yarithuna al-firdaus, these are the inheritors of jannatul firdaus, hum fiha khalidun, they will remain therein forever. But that is a separate topic. Interestingly, the first thing, what does Allah highlight there? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. People of Iman have succeeded. And what's the first thing? First shi'ar, first symbol of a mu'min. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They have khushu and khudu in their salah. Now if you look at our 6 points of tabligh, first point is Iman. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says a believer, person of Iman has succeeded. Second thing that Quran speaks about is khushu and khudu in salah. And the second of our 6 points of tabligh is salah with khushu and khudu. So every one of these, I keep saying this, usul and principles of tabligh are not just dreamt up somewhere. This is extracted directly from Quran and Hadith. So nevertheless, the point I was making, she said he was the walking, talking Quran. Now Rasulullah ﷺ taught us to read a dua when you put on your clothes, particularly new clothes. And in the Quran, what does Allah say? Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَي يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. Ya Bani Adam, O humanity, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا. Allah says, we have sent down clothing for you. We have sent down clothing for you. Yuwari so'atikum. Now so'a in Arabic is comes from the word su. In other words, what you don't like to be exposed. Today, unfortunately, because humanity has gone closer to animalism than being human beings, so our thinking has gone upside down. Today you get so-called world-leading fashionistas. They call them fashionistas, fancy terms, that are designing clothing where your private parts are visible. And they say that's the latest fashion. That is when Rasulullah ﷺ said, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفَعَلْ مَا شِئْتْ. When haya leaves my ummah, then between animals and human beings there won't be any difference. Animals are not conscious of their private parts being exposed. That's a quality of animals. So when human beings become like that, then فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا. When there's no haya, then do whatever you want. But normal, where fitrat is salima, where the fitrat of a person, naturally, even if you are alone in a closed room without clothes, you will feel uncomfortable. It's human nature. Allah has made it part of the khamir, the essence of a human being, to cover himself up, particularly so'a, his private parts. So Allah Ta'ala says, we send down clothing for you. قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا. Now this is the beauty of Quran. What should the word have been? Yastur auratikum. Satar, obviously you want to cover. So the word Arabic word to cover something, yastur, is satara yastur. So Quran should have said, we gave you clothing to cover your private parts. Allah doesn't say yastur. Allah says yuwari. Yuwari so'atikum. What's the difference? Mufassirin explained. They say if you cover only what is necessary, for example, the satar of a male is from the navel to the knee, just beneath the knee, that's yastur. But when you go beyond that and you cover yourself completely, that's yuwari. So Allah says, we gave you clothing not just to cover your satar, we gave you clothing to cover yourself, that is part of insaniyat. So that you will be closer to Quran, closer to Hadith, closer to Allah, the more you cover of yourself. And today, we live in a society where the more they take off the clothing, they think they are advancing. In Jannat, the first azab that came on the mistake of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the first azab Allah says, we strip them of the clothing of Jannat. When ostensibly Adam alayhi salam by mistake listened to shaitan. So the message was given to humanity till Qiyamah, this will always be shaitan's effort to make you naked. Society is telling us less is beautiful. From that time, the Quran is warning us this is always going to be the effort of shaitan to take you towards nakedness. And it is a shiar of Jannat and the call of Allah to cover yourself. So, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا. Allah says we send down clothing for you. This is a separate topic, I'm not going into that. The point is dua that Umar read, radiallahu anhu, that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how closely linked his every action was with Qur'an. Allah says, we gave you clothing, yuwari su'atikum, to cover your private parts. Warisha. Now this word rish in Arabic, if you pick up a translation or a commentary of the Qur'an, it's translated beauty. But rish doesn't actually mean beauty. Rish means feathers. If a bird, the beauty of a bird is in its feathers. If you cut the feathers off of a bird, there's no more attraction left there. So that's the beauty and eloquence of Quran. Allah says, we gave you clothing as feathers. It's interpreted with the word beauty. But the actual translation is feathers, a covering. So in other words, what does a bird do with its feathers and its wings? It flies. So if you want to rise up in the sight of Allah, cover yourself. That is what Quran is saying. So two objectives of clothing, Quran tells us. Cover your satr. Second, Allah has kept your beauty in that, made you attractive through that. The dua, Umar reads, Alhamdulillah, he says, I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Make shukr to Allah for this clothing that Allah gave you. First make Allah shukr. Because today, unfortunately, we don't make shukr. We don't acknowledge Allah's favors. The clothing you are wearing is Allah's favor. The food you just ate is Allah's favor. The air you are breathing is Allah's favor. So we have to learn to make shukr to Allah, thank Allah. So Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah, all praise is due to Allah. Alladhi who, kasani, gave me clothing to wear. And then look at the dua. Ma uwari bihi awrati, by which I am able to cover my satr. Wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati, and by which in my life I am able to gain beauty. So the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bi'aynihi, almost a commentary of the verse of the Quran where Allah says, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ. Allah says, we send down clothing for you to cover your satr, your private parts, and as a form of beauty. So my Nabi, when he would wear clothing, he would read this, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who gave me this clothing by which I am able to cover my private parts and by which I am able to get beauty in my life. And then the point that Sahaba not only learned the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they taught others these du'as, they practiced upon these du'as, and they made tabligh of these du'as. So what does Umar do? He accepts the new set of clothing, puts it on, reads this du'a, takes off his old set of clothing, which he had taken off to put this new. Straight away he gives it to a person. He gives it to a poor person. And then he says to the person that gave him the clothing, this is what I have heard from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if you receive a new set of clothing, put on the new set of clothing, read this dua, and the clothing that you are wearing, give it to a poor person, because if you will do this, kana fi hirzillah wa jiwarillah wa damanillah. Hirzillah, jiwarillah, damanillah. The guarantee of Allah, the protection of Allah, the neighborhood of Allah. You will get three things. Hirzillah, jamanillah, dhamanillah, jiwarillah. Protection of Allah, neighborhood of Allah, guarantee of Allah. As long as that poor person Whether you are alive or dead doesn't matter, as long as that person is wearing that set of clothes that you gave him. You took pity on a poor person, you took your clothes off, instead of disposing of it, you gave it to a poor person. As long as these clothes, as long as one thread of cotton of these clothes remain, Allah will continually shower you with His protection and His neighborhood and His guarantee. So just in this small interaction, we can see how much Sahaba practiced and what beautiful ta'aleem and teachings we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But, like our elders keep saying, deen seekhne se aate hai bhai. These things you're not going to be able to dream them up. It has to be learned. This ta'aleem that you're supposed to be making at home every day, ta'aleem in the masjid, our collective ta'aleem, our individual ta'aleem, that is the purpose of it. To learn this dua, learn the meaning of it, understand the significance of it. And then practice upon it and make tabligh of it. The more we will make tabligh, the more we will practice, the more it will become a part of our life. So this chapter, like I said, chapter of dua. In this incident which we are going to mention now, as the Mawsu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali brings the heading, Da'awatuhu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Ba'da Salawat. The du'as that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to read after Salah. This particular incident with the Jamaat that was traveling with me over the for a few days, we, in our Hayatul Sahaba Ta'aleem, we started it, but we never managed to finish it. And that is why the introduction, I'm not going to go too much into detail because of time constraints, so that we actually do the dua that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught. But there are certain very, very beautiful gems that we can gauge from each one of these incidents. One very important point or gem that we need to learn. Many of us complain about our families and we complain about those we are interacting with in Jamaat. No one is listening. No one is interested. No one wants to learn. I am trying, they're not interested. Mothers are complaining, fathers are complaining, ustads are complaining. There is a general sense, it's a challenge of the environment that we are living in. And sometimes, under the aura or the guise of dindari and piety, shaitan is much more intelligent than you and I. Much more intelligent. So he does, shaitan will approach a pious person, not with sharab and liquor. Shaitan will approach a pious person from the lines of piety. They are not listening. MashaAllah, you are practicing. You are practicing. You are on deen. They are not listening. So what shaitan will tell you, this gives you the right to lash out and to become intolerant. And to write them off. This is a very, very big trap of shaitan. Very big trap. And what's the nuskha and remedy? What's the remedy? The remedy, my respected brothers, is nothing, nothing, nothing else besides the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's seerah. There is no one more pious than him. Inni atqaakum lillah wa akhshaakum lahu. He said, this hadith. He said, there is no one that has a higher level of taqwa than me or fears Allah more than I fear Allah. And Allah tells us, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ وَإِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He never spoke of his desires. It is wahi from Allah. So he was the pious of the pious. The most pious. You can't get more pious than that. How did he deal with those in front of him? Some of them were munafiqs. Some of them were pretending to be believers. Some of them he knew at the slightest chance they would kill him, na'uzubillah. And they were right in front of him, professing to be his followers. One Jew comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Jew. And not just a Jew, not just Yahud, he hated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he comes? Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Those that were listening carefully, you know, this is a joke. I'm actually hesitating mentioning, but Sulaiman is here, so maybe I'll mention one joke sometime, because sometimes, like Aussie, I don't know, you can see front porch lights are on, might be sleep, might be nobody at home now, because it's 20 past 12 at night. But they say there was one lecturer in a medical university. So he told his students, you people want to become doctors. So if you people want to become doctors, listen to this one thing I'm telling you all. You need to hone all your senses. Every sense has to be developed to perfection if you want to become a doctor. Saying that, he took a beaker of urine, put his finger inside, and then he sucked his finger. He told, right, you people want to become doctors now. Pass this urine around. So every student asks us, but each one now, obviously the lecturer said it, so each one puts his finger inside and he licks his finger. At the end of it, the lecturer said, I told you people, you need to develop your senses. I put my index finger in the urine and I licked my middle finger, not the index finger. So this is what I said just now, Assalamu alaikum. Those that were listening carefully, like I said, it's 20 past 12 at night. The front porch light might be on, there might be nobody at home. Or they say this type of majma, a lot of times people are bain and nomi wal yaqza, half asleep, half awake. Those that were listening carefully, in the Arabic language, salam is peace. Salam is poison. So this Jew didn't say assalamu alaikum, he said assalamu alaikum. Pretending to say assalamu alaikum. May poison, mort, destruction come to you, he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pretending to make salam. Aisha radiallahu anha was in the precinct. She became absolutely upset, angry. She was enraged. Alayka salam, alayka lana. May that be upon you, destruction. May Allah destroy you. Qatalak Allah. How can you curse the Nabi of Allah? Such was Aisha's love and devotion for Rasulullah. She couldn't bear it. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Told Aisha, don't do that. Aisha, don't do that. Inna Allah rafiq, yuhibbu rifq. Allah is very compassionate and Allah loves to see compassion in His slaves. The sabak of the hadith is not the point. Understand the context in which he said it. He said it when there was open aggression and every justification to hit out. A lot of times we justify our aggression by saying the circumstances allow it. That's why I said the ilaj to this attitude that mashallah I'm so pious I can hit out at everybody now, or it gives me the right to be rigid and hard. The ilaj of it is seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practically, how those hearts that were filled with hatred would come to him after that and say that yesterday no one on the earth we hated more than you. Today Allah's qasam, there's no one we love more than you. Because this is Quran. What does Quran tell us? What is the cure for hatred? People hate you. What is the cure? Allah tells us, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. This is Quran and this is tried and tested. It will not fail. صدق الله. Allah spoke the truth. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Don't reciprocate, don't react to aggression with aggression. React to aggression with beauty. The word ahsan, Allah uses the word ahsan. Put a positive interpretation. Attribute it to that person's ignorance. Don't give in to the temptation to lash out. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. And what will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ Allah says that man who hates you, if you respond ahsan with beauty, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ Tomorrow that same person, not your just your friend, وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ Hamim in Arabic means that dosti and that muhabbat that is in josh. It comes from the word hama, which means something that's burning. He'll become your, like your blood brother. He will become someone who will fight for you. If you will learn this akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yusuf alayhi salam, when the brothers reached the height of humiliation, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. You are free. You are innocent. May Allah forgive you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they saw malaika coming down in Badr, they never brought iman. Stones would say, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah, and they never brought iman. They saw him split the moon in two and they never brought iman. They saw an army of 10,000 walk, march into Makkah, when he had left penniless from Makkah, and still they didn't bring iman. But when they saw him and his companions crying, begging Allah for the forgiveness of those that persecuted him. And when he said to them, I will say to you, like Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, La tathrib alaykum al-yawm, yaghfiru Allahu lakum, you are free, there will be absolutely no revenge taken from you, may Allah forgive you. All those miracles they saw, they didn't accept Islam. It never changed them. When they saw this, then ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, ashadu annaka Rasulullah. What is this? Tried and tested Quranic prescription. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Faidha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun kaannahu waliyun hamim. Allah says the man that hates you will become your bosom friend, will be prepared to die for you. If you will not fight aggression with aggression. Aisha, inna Allah rafiq yuhibbur rifq. Allah is compassionate. Allah loves compassion. وَيُعْطِ عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِ عَلَى الْأُنْفِ And Allah will give on compassion what He will not give on harshness, intolerance and rigidity. We talk about the sifat of a da'i. We talk about the quality of a da'i. We talk about this work of Dawat and Tabligh, our fourth point of Tabligh, what it is supposed to inculcate within us. Today, this is a very, very dangerous bimari that has overtaken us. This attitude of equating piety with intolerance. And equating piety with rigidity. And with equating piety with not being approachable. We've developed this mindset, the more pious, the more unapproachable. The more pious, the more stern look on the face. MashaAllah, wo to bari muttaqi hai. Wallah, my respected brothers, if you weigh this against the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no justification whatsoever for this. His seerah is the absolute opposite of that. Sahaba say when they would sit with him, he would look at each one in such a way that everyone was prepared to take a qasam that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking specially at me. He would show a special regard to each person. Jarir bin Abdullah said, I never met Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam except that he smiled at me and made me feel welcome. That was akhlaq. And that was what melted the hearts of people. Innama tahrumun nar, innama tahrumun nar ala kulli hayyin layyin qareebin sahlin. It's an ajeeb hadith of Rasulullah. Hayyin layyin qareebin sahlin. Unfortunately, we don't have that munasabat with the Arabic language. But if you look at this, the wording in this hadith, hayyin. Hayyin means very light and soft. Layyin, also very soft. Qareebin, what is qareeb? Easily approachable. There's no look of distaste or discord or scorn on his face. Anyone can walk up to him. Anyone would feel easy and free to walk up to him. That is qareebin. Sahal. Sahal, even if you don't understand Arabic. Sahal means easy, light, easy going, affable. Now who is being described? Unfortunately today if you describe somebody, they'll say he's chewing gum. Where's the jalal? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives this description. Qareebin, sahlin, hayyin, layyin. And what does my Nabi say? Allah has made Jahannam haram on any one of you that becomes like this. Innama tahrumun nar. Jahannam is haram on you. Jahannam will not touch you. So this is not something that you can learn in a book. This is why this encouragement by go in the path of Allah, knock door to door, go person to person. Bible Absab used to say, not 25 people, 25 times. Humble yourself. Go to a person who doesn't have a roof over his head. Go to a person without a shelter. And he shows you a funny face, turns his face away from you, you smile at him, give him dua. See that meme, when you get a sheep bakri time, that meme is not just going to break like that. And this is iman. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, till you don't love for the next person what you love for yourself. And understand this, my respected brothers. The day you consider yourself superior to anybody, it is impossible to desire for him what you desire for yourself. The root to break kibr and pride is this. You will only desire for somebody else what you desire for yourself if you regard that person as superior to you. And you have genuine love in your heart for him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is such a vital quality that la yu'minu ahadukum. You don't have iman. That's literal translation. Ulama, for our hifazat and protection, they put interpretations. Your iman is not complete, you haven't completed. But literally, the hadith doesn't say, la yu'min. He doesn't have iman. La yu'minu ahadukum. Hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. Till you don't love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is akhlaq. And when Allah speaks of the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does Allah say? Wa innaka wa innaka la. Four levels of emphasis. And then those who understand Arabic, it should have been wa innaka la dhu khuluqin azim. You are indeed my Nabi, you are indeed a person of akhlaq. Allah doesn't say dhu khuluqin or dha khuluqin. Technically, from a linguistic point of view, from a grammatical point of view, that's what it's supposed to be. This word Allah is completely out of context here. Unless we take it to try and appreciate what it means. Innaka la ala, ala khuluqin adi. Ala bimana al-isti'la. In other words, like you tell someone, you have owned something. You have owned akhlaq. Allah is saying, shabash. And deeper meaning of isti'ala mufassirin give. To not give in to anger takes effort. to be generous, human nature leans, has a we have a natural tendency towards miserliness. So to become generous takes effort. To forgive in the face of aggression takes effort. To be tolerant takes effort. Because your inside will be trying for something else. So to develop akhlaq takes effort. Mufassirin say, La ala khuluqin azim. That, oh my Nabi, your akhlaq is such that these qualities of akhlaq without effort naturally are there in you. It was part of his nature. And this work of Dawud and Tabligh, when we say work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is these qualities. To bring that within our lives. So all these, this aggression, this rigidity, this intolerance, this lashing out, regarding ourselves to be superior. Like I said, shaitan, mashallah, the man is in the masjid, he's tajud guzar, he's going in tabligh, he's spending time in the path of Allah, he's reading Quran, he's fasting. Shaitan is not going to tell that man to go and drink sharab. He's not going to tempt him with gambling, he knows he's not even going to consider it. How is he going to... He will come through the lines of deen to that person. MashaAllah, aap toh bohut muttaqi hai, toh gunegar hai. You very, very pious. He's a big gunegar. He's going to Jahannam. Isa alayhi salam, once he was traveling, highway robber sees the Nabi of Allah affected by the noor of Nubuwwat, makes Tawbah. Companion of Isa alayhi salam, one of the Hawariyin of Isa alayhi salam. When this highway robber is coming closer to make Tawbah and bayat in the hands of Isa alayhi salam, what thought enters the heart? Hum to muttaqi log hai. We are pious people. This man is out of place. How can he come here? Jibreel is sent. That Ya Ruh Allah, Ya Nabi Allah, inform both these people. Inform both these people that they must start again. That highway robber, he made sincere Tawbah, all his past sins are wiped away. He must start again. And that companion of yours looked down upon a person, all his good deeds have been wiped away. He must start again also. And we see this. Unfortunately, looks like again you're not going to get to the dua that is found in this hadith because of time constraints. It's already 20 to 1, and these are Mubarak nights that we should be actually exerting ourselves, trying and engaging in the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to start the incident, the point we were making, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach a dua. Today we say, mahol is not there in the home, mahol is not there outside, nobody is listening. Look at these people, what nalaik, they're like this, they're like that. The reason is we have not incorporated within ourselves the usloob, the manner of tabligh, da'wat and ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to teach one sahabi one dua. He doesn't walk up to that sahabi and say, hey bhai, after every namaz read this. That is there in the hadith, read this after every namaz. But look at the approach. Look at the approach. This is literal translation, and on this I will terminate now. Inshallah, some other opportunity will continue. This hadith is ala sharti shaykhain. In other words, the sanad of it is on the level of Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala who says, now, read this first line of the hadith in the context of what I said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach Mu'az one dua. What to read after namaz. That's the heading that Mu'az Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi brought. Da'awatuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'da salah. What dua must you read after namaz? That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach Mu'az. How did he teach him? How did he teach Mu'az this dua? So Mu'az is the narrator. He says, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha biyadihi. He says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked up to me and held my hand, Yoman, one day. ثُمَّ قَالْ Then he said, Ya Mu'ad, O Mu'ad, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ Allah's qasam, I love you. Walked up to him, held his hand, Allah's qasam, Mu'ad, I love you. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him the dua. So what is this? In our homes, we want deen to come in our wives. We want deen to come in our children. We want deen to come in the lives of those we are in contact with. Where is this justification of rigidity and harshness in the light of what we see in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Win the heart, you will win the soul of the person. Harshness is not going to win anybody's heart. It's going to break the heart. You want to win the heart, that is muhabbat, tolerance, affection, cleanliness in your heart. This is what I always say, dil dil par asar karte. The heart affects the heart. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.